Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome, everyone. Join us as we talk about the truth about motivation. Stay tuned. The last 2 days of this year, and it's nice to have all of you with us. How is everyone today in our class?
Great. Thank you.
And our panelists today, we have great panelists. Thanks for coming, Linda.
Thanks for asking me to come. It's great to be here.
Well, this is a very important time in the year, isn't it?
It is. It's the last 2 days of 2013. It's hard to believe. This year has sped by.
So we're glad to have our editor from Studio Classroom and our editor from Advanced with us. We're happy to have you with us again today. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Doris.
Okay. And what about you, Bill?
I'm thrilled to be here, but I'm sad, Doris,
because it's the last two days of the year. I know, but a new year is coming. New means exciting and adventurous, right?
Yeah, okay. All right, now I feel better.
Are you motivated?
I feel a little bit more motivated
now.
All right.
Okay, well, Catherine, and how do you feel about the end of the year?
I love it. New Year's is my favorite holiday, and I like getting excited for the new year and trying to make some changes.
So everybody, please open up your magazines to this article, and it's on page 42, The Truth About Motivation. There's a lot of myths, a lot of stories about how good motivation is. It says, don't let motivation myths sabotage your New Year's resolutions.
Well, you know, one of the things we think about with motivation myths is if we just simply get pumped up, if we get excited, and then we will accomplish a goal. And we have to realize that that's really kind of a temporary thing. It's just a short-term thing that maybe just get us going, but it's not going to carry us through to achieve the goal.
So then when it sabotages it, that means it kind of destroys what you were going to do because it just doesn't work out, right?
Yeah, we see sabotage. That's actually one of our specialized terms. And a lot of times, so sabotage is a word we use like in war or like spies. They actually will do something, maybe set a bomb or do something to destroy the enemy's plans.
Right. So don't let the myths and people say motivation really isn't going to make it. Hey, don't let that get to you. We're going to find out some news about motivation. Isn't that right, Linda?
That's right. So stay tuned. And should we do our first reading now? And then
All
we can
right.
talk about it.
The Truth About Motivation. Don't let motivation myths sabotage your New Year's resolutions. I've got some great news about motivation for you. This is a big deal. Since one of the biggest obstacles that people complain about when it comes to eating better and working out regularly is a lack of motivation. Here's the good news about motivation. You don't need it. Not now. Not in the future, not ever. Motivation is a feeling, and this is the problem with motivation. Feelings come and go. You just can't count on them. They're not consistent. Motivation can help you get started with something, but it is discipline that will keep you going over the long haul. Be disciplined, not motivated.
Well, there's some interesting thoughts on these words, the difference in being disciplined and being motivated. I think that's quite interesting, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think sometimes they go hand in hand, which means they go together. So you might be motivated to do something, but if you're going to do it for a long period of time, then you need discipline.
Well, that's one of the obstacles is keeping yourself motivated. That's your biggest obstacle. An obstacle is something that just stands in the way. And so you say, well, I want to eat better next year. I'm going to get more exercise. But, you know, pretty soon I just say, oh, why bother? No motivation.
Yeah, I think a lot of our problems that gets in the way, obstacles, are our attitude. We lose our enthusiasm for this thing that maybe we had set out to accomplish, but after a couple of weeks, we actually...
A couple of days sometimes.
A couple of days, yeah.
No, but it says here you really don't need it. So you don't really need that? Not now or not ever? Is that true?
Yeah, personally, I disagree with that a little bit. I think that motivation is great to have when you start because that is the push that you need to start making a change.
I think you do need it.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, after you get into the routine of it, what the author is saying is you need discipline more than motivation. You just have to keep at it.
It does say that. It says motivation can help you get started, but then discipline is what keeps you going. Well, what about the long haul? That's kind of an interesting phrase.
Well, the long haul, it's one of our vocabulary focus words. It says a period of years rather than days, weeks, or months. I don't know if I've never really thought of it that way. I usually think of it for a very long period of time. So to me, it could be a matter of months, and especially if you're motivated and your motivation only lasts for like 2 or 3 days. A long haul could be like 2 or 3 months, but usually it is a long period of time.
Yeah, being the end of the year, Doris, it's very typical for people now to make New Year's resolutions and say we're going to do all of these things. But like Linda was saying, a long haul, we might look at it, well, maybe at least a year, period, at least a year as a long haul. Very few people actually carry through for an entire year.
Especially with diets and exercise, right?
Right. But I do think that this is interesting that it says that motivation is a feeling. And this is the problem with motivation because, you know, our feelings, they are not consistent. They don't stay the same. So something can motivate you to start like eating better and fine. But what happens when you come across that special dessert or chips or something that you really, really want? Is that motivation that keeps you from eating it, or is it discipline that keeps you from eating it?
I think discipline, of course, is a habit. If you get used to doing things that you're supposed to do, that's why parents keep trying to train their children to do things, do this and do that. And it takes a long time, but pretty soon they start to do it. And they get older, they just do it out of a habit.
That's right. I think the next section talks about that a little bit, which is a very good reminder of how we develop habits in our lives and how we carry them through over the long haul, I think.
Well, let's go on to these tips to be more disciplined then and read the next paragraph.
Tips to be more disciplined. The good news about discipline is that it's not like height. It's something you can actually change and increase. And here are 4 ways to get started. 1. Make your bed. It's not just a cliche, but every discipline enhances every other discipline. This is a research-validated fact. People who improve their eating habits also find that, without intending to, they do a better job of managing their money. Making your bed seems to be what researchers call a keystone habit that spills over positively to most other areas of a person's life.
Well, tips are always useful things to help us. And if you want to be more disciplined, and most people do, well, they have to see what these different tips are. And it says that sometimes, you know, you can actually change or increase. There's 4 ways to get started, and we're going to talk about those today and tomorrow.
Right. Now, what the writer starts out here with, it's not like height. And that might seem like a really strange saying for, like, our readers to look at and say, what is he talking about, how tall we are? But actually, we have certain things about us we can't change. So he's making a point that there are things we can't change. But one of the things we can't change is our discipline.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, some of us are just not discipline-oriented. I mean, I have good intentions most of the time, but it's discipline. Being disciplined is not easy.
Well, and sometimes if you get too disciplined, you don't have any fun. You got to let down every now and then, don't you?
Well, I think so.
At the end of the year?
I let down a lot.
What do you think, Catherine?
Well, I think it's important to start small. Like maybe what he's saying here is just making your bed every morning is a good habit you can get into, something you can do to be more disciplined, keeping your room clean or something, being more organized. Just little things.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to become more disciplined, though, without the motivation. I think those two really do need to go together. If you're not motivated, maybe you're always late to work, and then you're not motivated, but maybe they deduct your salary, and that motivates you a little bit.
I think so.
But, you know, the motivation, then pretty soon you get used to it. Then it becomes a habit, which is kind of like a discipline. But I think those two kind of have to go together.
They do need to go together because, you know, I also think of the term, like motivation, we might say is a positive term. Discipline, in many ways, a lot of people would think it's a negative term.
That's true.
I think that's actually why a lot of people don't have discipline in many things, is they actually, for them, it's really not a lot of fun. It's not enjoyable. Discipline is a negative term.
Something people make you do, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of the army or something.
Everybody wants to be motivated.
Yeah, right.
Who says, I want to be disciplined? I mean, not everybody
says that.
Your parents
say that.
I've never heard anybody say that. I want to be disciplined.
Your parents might say that about me. I wish my kids were more disciplined. Right.
Right.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting, though, is the kind of examples that they give. I'd never think you'd start out by saying to make your bed. Doesn't that seem funny to you?
It does. And I think there are bed makers and there are non-bed makers. And I think it – I don't know. I think this goes back to a person's childhood. I remember my mother always making sure we had to make our beds before we went to school or left. And some of her sisters didn't, and they were like terrible housekeepers.
Hmm.
And she always said that that was a sign that at least you could get going for the day and you had to do it. And she was, you know, a very neat person.
Did you have to make your bed, Catherine?
I did. That was something that my mom and dad were very serious about. So every morning I made my bed, and the days that I didn't, it just felt so weird. And so even now, that's the first thing I do in the morning is I get up and I make my bed, and I'm like, okay, you did one thing today.
I wonder if Bill made his bed.
I know.
Did your mom make you make your bed?
I don't think I made my bed. I think I just ran out at the last minute. And actually, I have carried through that practice, Doris. I continue to run out of my apartment at the very last minute.
I can see a good New Year's resolution for you coming up here. Make your bed. But you know, you see in movies and things when people are having problems in their lives and mental problems, and it always shows a messy bedroom and the bed's not made. And it kind of just sort of seems like life is a little bit messy when people's beds aren't made. I don't know why that is.
Well, you know what, Doris? This is actually an interesting point because I have read about this make your bed thing in certain psychological studies and also studies of people that are suffering from depression and addiction. And this is one of the first things the counselors tell the people who are suffering from addiction or depression, make your bed, because what it does is it creates order in mm-hmm. the person's life. That's what it is mm-hmm. about. Without a simple thing of making their bed, it actually sets the tone for the entire day.
I totally agree with that. And I think it also gives you a sense of control. You know, you have control over at least that.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's different ways to make your bed. You can kind of make a sloppy bed, pull the covers over, or if you have German parents or something, they tuck in the corners and fold them a certain way. And, you know, so there's different ways of making your bed, too, you know.
That's true. Bed making is so interesting. I mean, my mom was in the Navy, so she taught me how to make a Navy bed.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, actually, I've been married for many, many, many years, and we were talking to another couple, and my husband was like, I finally learned that I had just had to make the bed the way my wife, the way Linda makes it.
Mm-hmm.
I was
right.
Like, what?
Now, there's a lot to this bed-making
yeah,
stuff.
Right?
You know that. Because now what this does is, a lot of people might think, well, this is dumb, right? But actually, what this causes, all right, you then need to make time in the morning to make the bed. The person then has to set aside at least a 2 minutes or so to make the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what that means is that you give yourself enough time in the morning, you get up on time. And now, what does that mean? It creates order in your scheduling, and then what that means is you don't stay up till 2 a.m. surfing the internet or scrolling on Facebook, and that actually creates more discipline in other parts of your life.
Bill, you're getting some deep subjects here about all that about
I'm
the
a deep
computer
person.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it's interesting that this is a research-validated fact.
Okay.
I mean, the text says it's not just a cliche, and I think we all know or we may have heard a cliche is just an expression that we just use all the time, you know, and it loses its meaning. Meaning. But now it says that this is a research-validated fact, and if you validate something, it shows that after examining it, that it is really officially acceptable.
Well, so, I guess the main thing is that every discipline here enhances the other discipline. In other words, if you start with one discipline, it helps the next one. So it helps you build your discipline.
I totally agree.
Well, he moves from the bedroom to the table, the kitchen table, in the next one by saying people who improve their eating habits also find that without intending to, they do a better job of managing their money. Two things we would never connect.
We'd think, never connect.
What are you talking about?
No, would you?
Right.
Not me either.
Well, it's a spillover effect.
The bed's still the keystone habit, and that seems very strange. So anyway, that's what it says here. And it said it spills over positively. In other words, once you start this, then it helps you build discipline in other parts of your life. Your eating, your money, and everything. Seems kind of simple, but that's what this says anyway, just for fun. Right?
I think it's kind of interesting. I think that is true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you go to the store, if you're really trying to improve your eating habits, then you save a lot of money. You don't buy chips. You don't buy cookies. You don't buy all the junk food that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, but sometimes vitamins cost a lot of money and you buy those.
I know, but that's also... Then you can afford them because you're not buying the junk.
Okay. Well, but, you know, like it says here, you have to choose your battles, actually. And I think, you know, you have to decide which of these things are the most important to you. So let's read about choosing our battles. That's point number two.
Two, choose your battles. Discipline or willpower is a finite quality. Sure, you can develop it, but it is still finite. Research shows that you can effectively change about three things about yourself at a time. I always like to tell people to limit this to a maximum of two, since you probably have other things going on in your life. Pick the two things that you can do right now and focus on them. Don't let yourself off the hook on these two things, and consider everything else a bonus.
Well, what about choosing your battles? I mean, what kind of a battle is this? It is a battle to be disciplined. And when you're going to choose your battles, you have to decide, well, how much discipline do I want?
Well, as far as choosing your battles, what this actually comes from is, first off, what do we get into, like, arguments or disagreements over? That's what I think of choosing your battles. There's a lot of things that occurred during the course of a day we can get upset about, but we can't be getting upset and getting into arguments about every single thing. And so I have to choose what is important. That's what the writer's talking about here.
What about choosing to not get upset at all? That would be good.
Yeah, you could choose that. That's,
that's a
special person that can do that.
But, you know, it does take discipline, though. And discipline and willpower are somewhat the same, aren't they?
Right. Willpower, you know, you can choose. You can choose to what you control. So you can have the willpower not to think bad thoughts, or you can
or
have
eat
the
chocolate.
Or, yeah, that's pretty hard. But
that's a hard one, isn't it? Okay,
it is. You're talking
impossible.
To somebody who hasn't had chocolate for a while. And I think it's interesting that it says that it's a finite quality. Finite means that there is a limit or an end to it.
Okay.
And the opposite of that is infinite, which means unending.
Right. Those are good words.
Yeah, you know, we think of the only person I don't know who has infinite willpower might be Superman or Iron Man. I don't know. Because
or maybe God. God is in
God. Yeah, we have, as human beings, we get tired and we get worn down and we're able to give in on things maybe we shouldn't give in on. So, but research shows that you can effectively change about three things about yourself at a time.
Did you know that? I thought, you one at a time
sense.
Is bad enough.
Yeah. I think they're saying that you can't do more than three at one time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I think people sometimes around this time of year get really motivated to try and change everything about themselves, and that's where they end up stumbling because you can't, obviously, like it says, you can't change everything about yourself at once.
Well, and they say, sometimes you can limit it, to a maximum of two. because everything else you've got going on in your life that you can't control. So if it's two, it usually comes to food and exercise. And three would probably be money, right? Those, what do you think?
Probably.
And making your bed.
Making your bed.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Those are about the three most popular resolutions we might hear around this time of year. I'm going to lose weight. Maybe I'm going to exercise more, and then I'm going to make money somehow, either change a job or do something to improve the money situation.
Or not spend it when I don't need it.
Yeah.
Or something like
I think that we're leaving out something here, especially if we're talking about food, exercise, and money, is the results. You know, because if you know a fairly disciplined person and that person sets his or her mind to something and follows through on it and sees results, then it's more motivation to continue, right?
Yeah.
Well, it still takes discipline.
Well, I think that Linda brought up a great point, is one of the reasons people lose motivation is because they don't see results quickly enough.
That's true.
And that's where you need to have discipline, because even though you're not seeing results, you still are disciplined enough to keep making changes, and then finally, whenever you see, like, you lose a little bit of weight or you save some money, that's when I think you get back some motivation for a while.
Well, we do like to have instant results now. You know, we have instant food and instant a lot of things, and we don't like to wait. So I think that's one of the problems, is that we can't wait long enough.
I think because of all the access we have, like, to the internet, everything that we want is there instantly, you know. So when we're, like, this is really talking about working on ourselves, right, in our own lives and what we do, what we eat. You know, it's hard.
We're going to maybe ask you tomorrow, but we won't ask you today, because tomorrow's the last day of the year. Are there some things that you might want to work on for the next year? But it says, don't let yourself off the hook. Now, to let yourself off the hook, it's kind of an interesting phrase.
Right. That's one of our vocabulary focus terms, Doris. That means to avoid a difficult situation. Actually, it's a little bit different, I think, as far as when we let ourselves off the hook or let somebody else off the hook, we let them go without really holding them responsible for maybe what somebody said they were going to do, they promised to do. So, and
we release them.
Yeah, if Katie had said to me, oh, yeah, sure, I'll bring, you know, something over. I'll bring a dish over for dinner tomorrow night. And then maybe she doesn't for this party. And then I say, oh, well, that's no problem. I kind of let her off the hook on that.
You know, I think of fish, when they catch fish, and then sometimes they throw them back because they're too small. They take them off the hook, saves their life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
right.
Getting off the hook is pretty good, isn't it?
Well, but let's go back to what this is talking about. Don't let yourself off the hook on these two things. Whatever you decide to do, whether it's exercise and, okay, we're talking about exercise and eating correctly or managing your money, two of those three things, then you need to hold yourself. Another way to say this is hold yourself accountable, right?
Right.
So have you set up something? Are you going to follow through? You know, don't say, oh, okay, I don't really feel like doing it today.
Yeah, just don't say, yeah, it's okay if I skip the gym today.
It's okay if
that's
I eat that chocolate.
Problem. Yeah.
Well, Bill, but what does it mean about choosing your battles then? Do you decide which ones you're going to let yourself off? Maybe you make about five resolutions and you let yourself off the hook on some of them, but you have to keep some of them, right?
Well, I think you just have to prioritize them. That's what choosing your battles are. You need to really pick out, all right, what he's saying in this paragraph is what are the one or two most important things? That's the battle you put all your energy into.
Well, and that reminds me of a skit that we have coming up.
I'm really confused about some things at work, Rick.
You're always upset about work. Your life is pretty chaotic, Stan.
My co-worker, Joanna, spilled coffee on my desk, and she didn't do a good job of cleaning it up. So I called her out about it and reported her to Human Resources.
You reported her to Human Resources? Because she didn't clean your desk to your satisfaction?
Yeah, I didn't like her attitude either.
Well, Stan, have you checked your attitude?
Huh? Oh, and my boss didn't approve my vacation request. I told him I felt depleted after working so hard, but he said I need to make some sales before I can go on vacation.
Well, I know you've been working hard, but the boss has a point. If you haven't made any sales, and you are a salesman, then I understand why he turned you down.
I thought he was wrong, so I posted a frowny face on my Facebook wall.
Did he see it?
Yeah, and I felt so validated because I let him know that I was disappointed.
My guess is that he was pretty disappointed also.
What do you mean?
Stan, you need to get smarter about who you have arguments with. You need to pick your battles wisely. Don't just make war with everybody.
Why? If I think I'm right, I want to let people know that.
Do you want to keep your job?
Well, I do need the money.
Then Stan, quit making everything a big deal and take it easy. Most of the things you're upset about are irrelevant.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right, Rick. I'll give it a try for a week or two. Well, that was a great example of how to choose your battles, Doris.
Right, and I think we always have to do that. That means to put things in the right order, to prioritize everything, to say which is the most important to you. And I think that's what we all need to do as we get to the end of the year. But we should also look forward to the end of the year and think of all the good things and count our blessings for the things that have happened.
That's right. You know, 2013 has been a big year for a lot of people. A lot of things have happened to every one of us. I think it's a good time to look back and be thankful for the things that have happened in our life this year.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I think it's also a good idea to look forward to 2014 and be excited for what will happen in the next year. I'm sure big things will also happen next year as well.
Well, and we have tomorrow to think about that We have one more day of this year, and we will be thinking about that. So be sure and be with us in advanced class. And I'm sure you're highly motivated to continue with us, so we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.